Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Collision Course by Chris J. Pike and M.D. Cooper. Narrated by Tracy Odom. Forward. This book was a thrill to weave together. Chris and I worked long and hard to get the threads that we broke apart in Strike Vector drawn close once more, and we're certain the adventure won't disappoint. Connecting this book into the larger goings-on in the Orion War and Inner Stars was also a fun time, and we see some old favorites make an appearance, and maybe some new folks joining Team Tanis and her mission to stop the Orion War before it spreads across all humanity. Bit by bit, the alliances are forming, and the lines are being drawn. We're getting a better look at the bigger picture. Both you and the characters are starting to see what's actually unfolding. I sincerely believe you're going to love this story, and the openings it leaves for more great stories in the Silstrand Alliance and the region of space known as the Fringe. Michael Cooper, Danvers, 2017. Crashed. Stellar date 09.24.8948. Adjusted years. Location: Equatorial Valleys, Jericho. Region: Gedry System, Silstrand Alliance. Nadine moaned and her eyes fluttered open. She stared up at the ceiling of the Dauntless. Lights flickered overhead and smoke drifted out of her comms console. When she tried to move, a sharp pain stabbed through her side and her fingers tingled as she stretched her arm. What happened? Where were the others? The ship lurched and the agrav system shut down. Then a terrible rending screech reverberated through the hull. The sound wasn't like that of an explosion or of stresses tearing a ship apart. It was slow, deliberate, like the way an animal might attach itself to its victim and begin tearing off meat, joint by joint, and the ship, panel by panel. If it was what she thought it was, they'd be dead within minutes.
"Portside passage has lost pressure, but the cargo bay door is sealed. Something's breached the hull," Winter said.
Her voice tight with tension, Nadine called out, "Bridge door isn't responding!"
"Do it manually! Seal the bridge!" Rogers shouted. "I'm dumping us out!"
Nadine unbuckled her harness and pushed off in the zero-G to the door at the back of the bridge. She pulled the manual lever, sliding it down, and an explosive charge fired and pushed the door shut. But before the door engaged, she saw a darkness flowing into the ship, seeping down the passageway. She kicked off the bulkhead, flying across the bridge, just barely grabbing the back of her seat as she raced past.
"No!" Nadine hissed as she settled into her seat and threw her strap over her shoulder. "We can't let it out of the dark layer!"
"It?"
Winter asked. The things that lived in the dark layer. By the stars, how had they been unlucky enough to attract one of those things' attention? And how had they been lucky enough to survive? If they had let it out of the dark layer, they would be responsible for the destruction of the system, maybe all of Silstrand. She needed to find everyone, Rogers and Winter.
Wait, where was Kylie?
Kylie?
Nadine whispered and felt a stabbing pain in her chest. Her ribcage was being crushed by something heavy and unmovable. Something was on top of her, and Nadine did her best to push it off, but she couldn't. Instead, whatever had punctured her side had just been driven deeper inside. Nadine moaned and tilted her head back. Kylie was gone. She remembered now. Nadine swept Kylie's hair away, staring at the face of the woman she loved, knowing they would see one another soon, very soon. Then everything would be explained. "She'll wake up in a couple of days. Enough time for you to get to your ship and head home. It's time she went home, David. Her family needs her. She needs them, too." Nadine took a deep breath and gazed away. "The AI."
"You see it, too? You understand?"
David whispered. Solemnly, Nadine nodded. "I understand everything, same as you do. Take her home and make her understand. But don't hurt her. If you hurt her, I'll come for you.
I have means at my disposal to make you and your whole family pay. Understand me? She had betrayed Kylie so she could complete her mission, assassinating Peter Rhodes. Now the Dauntless had crashed somewhere, somewhere Nadine couldn't remember, and Kylie was on a ship bound for her father, and Nadine couldn't pursue her. She had failed her mission. Everything was falling apart. She tilted her head back and caught sight of the pilot's seat. There, Roger's body dangled unmoving, his head hanging forward, dead or unconscious. Neither of those were good things. But still, Nadine held on to hope and stretched a hand out to him.
"Rogers?"
she whispered. There was no response, and she felt despair well up within her, threatening to crush all hope. Nadine glanced down at the blood staining her jacket from her chest wound. Her Nana was struggling to keep up with the blood loss. If someone didn't help her soon, Nadine was going to die. Captive. Stellar date 09.24.8948. Adjusted years. Location. Emperor's Tears. Region. Gedry System. Silstrand Alliance. Does this make me look fat? Grayson turned from the bedroom mirror to view his wife of about 10 hours. Warm sunlight shone through their wide bedroom window, lighting up her long brown hair as she stood silhouetted against its soft glare. His newly wedded wife, Kylie, stood in one of his dress shirts. The sleeves were too long, and she spun around, the roundness of her ass peeking out, blue panties and all. Grayson laughed.
Nothing, darling, could ever make you fat.
Kylie smirked as she threw her arms around his neck, and Grayson swept her long brown hair off her shoulder so he could kiss her neck.
I'm starting to think you really don't want me to go.
He caressed her arm, smothering her lips with his. He reveled in the smell of her, pressing himself against her as they could only do at home. Outside these walls, they were Space Force officers, and decorum was expected at all times. But at home, Grayson wanted nothing more than to lose himself in her. I don't want you to go, Kylie pouted and grabbed his shirt with both hands. We were promised an extended leave.
Duty calls, Grayson sighed and raised his eyebrows. But I'll make it up to you.
He kissed her again, slowly this time, and Kylie moaned, melting into his arms as though she had always been there. To Grayson, she always had, always would.
Back to bed, Kylie whispered
and bit gently at his nose. She hooked her fingers into his belt and slowly drew him backward. With great reluctance, he stopped himself.
You know I can't. You can't either. We both have responsibilities. When the SSF calls, we answer.
I know.
Kylie gazed at him with her big, soulful eyes, and Grayson almost couldn't resist her silent siren call. He'd always sworn he'd never marry, certainly never have children. He was a career military man and happy to be one. But just one look from her threatened everything he had always believed. If she asked, he just might give it all up for her. Kylie might have been SSF as well, but she wasn't as dedicated to it as he was. It had never been a problem between them, thank his lucky stars, and Grayson hoped it never would be. I'll make some coffee before you have to rush off. Kylie turned to leave the bedroom, but Grayson caught her hand.
Please. Stars, no. I'll make the coffee. You get dressed.
My coffee isn't that bad, is it?
She asked with a tilt of her head, but the smirk she wore gave away what she knew all too well.
You have no idea.
Grayson laughed, his hands perched on her delicate hips.
You defy the laws of physics. Your coffee shouldn't be possible.
Kylie pulled the shirt she wore down over her shoulders, then her arms, slowly letting it drop to the floor.
One more minute?
She was irresistible.
One more minute,
Grayson agreed as he kissed her and hoisted her up. He took a step toward the bed and pushed her backward. They rolled beneath the white down comforter, and for a short while, neither had a care in the world. Until a splash of cold water on his face startled him awake. Inside cargo hold two, Grayson snorted awake, aware of how numb his arms were, and the happy images of Kylie vanished. The feelings of love and joy left a desperate hole in him, and it rotted away as he glanced up at the ceiling, the crimp in his neck complaining painfully. He was strung up in the center of the room. Memories flooded back, memories of more than just a little abuse at the hands of his torturer. There was a tight, wrong feeling in his chest, and his face burned from multiple lacerations, rivulets of blood mixing with tears caked onto his cheeks and chin. Grayson glanced down at the remains of his open shirt. Ripped or cut apart, he couldn't remember. He saw the burns. 4. Strange, he only remembered 3. The long welts from a whip crisscrossed his chest, and he couldn't tell which hurt worse, nor could he differentiate one pain from the other. His legs shook, and he almost fell to his knees, only remaining upright through sheer force of will. His torturer was devious. Grayson was able to kneel, but doing so pulled his arms straight above his head, his weight half on them, half on his knees. It was excruciating, and after just a few minutes, breathing became difficult. So he struggled to stand against the odds. He struggled to stay awake, endure the pain, and not answer any of their questions. Grayson blinked at the bright lights above, black spots and dancing stars dominating his vision. He squinted and tried to pull his head up so he could look away, but the movement was torture on his shoulders. The suppression band around his head only worsened the fogginess in his mind. He couldn't reach the link, couldn't control the nano within his body to facilitate any pain suppression or rapid healing. His strength was sapped, and he had little doubt that he would remain in this position for some time, maybe even until they reached Scipio. By then, he'd either be dead or they'd move him to a more efficient torture system. Neither option sounded very appealing.
You have enough yet?
Tena. Of all the crew on the Emperor's Tears, she was the last he would have believed to be their vicious screw-turner. In retrospect, maybe he should have expected it. She was a predator, oozed it from every pore. Grayson struggled to pull his head up straight. In the end, he rested it against his shoulder and squinted at her while trying to steady his breathing enough to talk.
Yes, please. You can stop any time now. You know I'm not going to talk.
Especially not to the likes of her. When he focused on her face, it was black, flecked with the stars that raced across his vision. He looked to the side, able to see out of the corner of his eyes and watch her stride away, her long braid flicking back and forth as she moved. She stopped at her table of implements. Her selection was swift, and a few moments later she was before him once more, shoving a scalpel's sharp blade beneath his nose, nicking his skin with its tip.
You might want to reconsider your response. You never know. I might learn to forgive you, let you live. If you don't give me any more trouble, maybe I'll even let you return to my bed.
Grayson snorted.
I might have slept with you. I might have enjoyed it. But I was thinking of someone else the whole time.
Was still thinking of her just now. Tena gripped his hair and yanked his head back. Grayson gasped as his muscles tensed and the sharp breath made his lungs scream in agony. The scalpel played at his neck, cutting near his arteries, but not deep enough to hit them. Yet.
You might want to think about the things you say, Tom Rudy. Making me angry doesn't end well for you.
Believe me, making you angry is the last thing I want to do. But let's be honest, there's no good ending in this for me. Plus, you're not as good between the sheets as you think you are. Certainly not a patch on her.
Tana's jaw grated side to side.
Who are you speaking with? Who the hell are you?
You would have seen that for yourself if you hadn't destroyed my comm array. You're rash. Now it's costing you.
Why, Skyho? Who the hell are you working for?
No one,
Grayson said.
I'm in it for myself. Aren't I pathetic?
Finally, a word of truth in a sea of lies.
If you want to kill me, go ahead and do it. I've got nothing left to live for.
He'd meant the words to be a simple retort, something he said to rile her up. Then it dawned on him. It was true. He really did have nothing left to live for. Without the SSF, without even his treacherous AI, Jared, what was there for him? Kylie might never forgive him for walking away. She would never be back in his arms. No, there was still something he could do. One last mission. Free Lana and get her off this ship before they reached Scipio. If he could do that, maybe he'd prove he did have some value after all. Tana snorted.
You're right about one thing. You are pathetic.
She slapped him across the face.
Weren't man enough to take your own life. So here you are, huh? Now you're in my hands. And if you beg me to kill you, I'm going to do worse.
Tana punctuated her words by slicing open the skin along his shoulder. He sucked in his breath and bit his lip. With his training, he could have borne it without making a sound, but he wasn't above showing her a response. It might keep her from digging in deeper.
So much worse. I'm going to make you suffer, Tom Rudy, or whatever your name is.
Grayson was wrong. It wasn't enough. She drew the blade to his bicep, driving it deep and scraping the point along the bone before twisting it viciously. He counted to 10, then 20, keeping his eyes trained on the ceiling and his mouth open, fighting against the urge to scream.
Who did you call? What did you tell them about us?
Tana finally removed the scalpel and Grayson swallowed, tasting blood from biting his cheek. She turned back to her table and picked up a silver pad. He had a suspicion as to what it would be and braced himself for what was to come.
Looks like you recognize this, Tana said with a wicked smile as she stuck it onto his chest. You're nice and lean. I'm told that makes it hurt more. Something to do with nerve density.
Maybe you should try it and see for yourself,
Grayson said with a wan smile. Tana grabbed his face and squeezed his lips together. Normally it wouldn't hurt that much, but her grasp tore at the cuts on his face and he gritted his teeth against the pain. She growled menacingly.
Is it true? Are you with the SSF? Were you planted on our ship?
Ironically, those were questions he could answer truthfully and give little away, but he wasn't going to give her the satisfaction. Surrendering one truth led to another, then another. Tana would offer him rewards for his honesty, and the process of breaking him would begin. Defiance was the best option. Tana let out an angry breath and pushed him back, putting a strain on his exhausted arms and nearly making his legs buckle.
Too bad. You'd rather I hurt you. Maybe that's your idea of foreplay.
The thing on his chest activated and began to feed filaments into his body. Filaments that attached to nerve endings and clusters. Grayson clenched his jaw and desperately tried not to scream too loud.
That was level one. You want to go for two?
Tana asked.
Were you sent by the SSF? Who did you contact?
I can't tell you, but do you think I could have a sandwich?
Grayson whispered.
It's been hours since I last ate.
Guess that's a yes, then.
Gabriel and Micah waited outside. When Tana exited the cargo bay, Gabriel crossed his arms.
Well?
Tana shook her head.
He hasn't cracked yet, but he will. If I have to cut his fingers off and hack off his dick, he'll talk. It's only a matter of time.
Time we might not have if he had a direct line to the SSF.
Gabriel sighed and shook his head.
We were lucky they couldn't see through our stealth tech. But that was in the heat of battle. If they know where we're bound, they'll be watching the jump points.
We'll be visible before we transition.
And if they deploy sensor nets near the jump points, they'll see us before that,
Micah added. They won't, Tana said. We killed the comm hookup before he had a chance to give anything away.
Maybe. Stars, how stupid were we to let him on board? His formality, his manner of speech. He's an officer. Or he was. I never should have trusted him,
Gabriel said. Tana shrugged. You couldn't have known. He fixed the ship like any engineer would have. Not a lot of officers are that good with their hands. Micah laughed.
You would know.
Tana scowled and gave him a shove.
Shut the fuck up, Micah!
It's what you get for sleeping with the hired help,
Gabriel said with a scowl.
He's not from Scipio. He isn't one of us. That much we knew the moment he stepped on board. We needed him to do a mission, that was all. Once the mission was over...
Tana nodded.
Space junk, I know. I'm sorry, Captain. You know how excited I get when we have meat on board.
At least you know his body,
Micah said with a laugh.
I still think you should try direct extraction.
Tana shook her head vehemently.
No, for the last time, no. If he really was an officer, then he'll have fail-safes. They don't just let brains like his wander around vanilla. I'm lucky the suppression band is working and that he doesn't have an AI. If that was the case, we'd be better off just killing him.
Then you'd better get back to it,
Gabriel said as he turned toward the lift.
Promise him whatever you want, but we have to know what he told them. We need to know if they know about the girl. We're a day from the jump point. Find out by then, or we kick him out the airlock.
Valleys of Jericho. Stellar date 09.24.8948. Adjusted years. Location: Equatorial Valleys, Jericho. Region: Gedry System, Silstrand Alliance. Rogers groaned as he came to. He opened his eyes and immediately closed them as the pounding headache throbbing behind them became apparent. It felt like his head had been minced and his eyes throbbed and threatened to pop from the pressure behind them. No wonder. He was still upside down in his pilot chair, and its agrav emitters were off. Made sense that his head hurt so stinking much. Roger struggled to release his harness, but his fingers weren't listening to what he wanted them to do just yet, the tingling and throbbing making it impossible for him to work the clasp. As he slapped his hands on his thighs to wake them up, he glanced through the bridge's once clear dome, now half covered with soot and carbon from their descent through Jericho's thin atmosphere. What he saw was green, lots of green. Tall grass, mixed with bamboo and trunks of trees, were visible between the black streaks on the dome. He couldn't see sky from his vantage, just more and more green. There was only one conclusion. They were in one of the planet's deep valleys, the few places where the atmosphere was still thick enough for verdant life. He finally managed to release the clasp on his harness. Unfortunately, his numb hands failed to hold on to the seat, and he dropped the meter to the floor, landing hard on his shoulder. With a shake of his head, he struggled to his knees.
Winter? Nadine?
Man, his voice sounded horrible, too. The bridge was in disarray. Smoke drifted low across the deck while the hollow displays flashed erratically. Overhead, conduits hung down where panels had been wrenched free. What the hell had happened to them in the dark layer?
Nadine!
Rogers cried out once more as he rose up and climbed across one of the fallen panels between him and the comms console. Where the hell was she? A moan came from the rear of the bridge, a rumbly bass. Winter. Well, at least one other crew member was still with him.
That was some damn party. We didn't even get a goodie bag,
the albino said as he rose on shaky legs. Great. A delirious Winter was worse than the usual variety.
Move your ass, Winter, and get that door open.
A softer, more delicate groan caught Roger's attention. He glanced down and gasped. There, beneath a pile of debris, lay Nadine.
She was pinned beneath a pair of heavy panels which were wedged under a piece of deck plate that had risen up, twisted strangely by some event he couldn't recall. Her face was a rictus of pain, the expression entirely unnatural on her normally serene face.
"Nadine, I'm going to get you out of there. Hold on."
Rogers tried to keep the worry out of his voice as he grabbed one of the panels that lay atop her, but Nadine shook her head quickly.
"No."
The single word came in a gasp.
"I tried to move it. Hurts too much. Punctured something."
"Okay, relax. Lay still. I'll figure it out, okay?" Rogers gave her his best charming smile, but inside, panic raged. Nadine looked pale. Rogers' head was killing him, and they were trapped on the bridge in what was probably a hostile environment. What was there to be calm about? From his angle, all he could see was her head. If something had punctured her body, pulling it out could be bad news. But if she was bleeding internally, leaving her in place wasn't helping either. He needed to hear her breathing.
"Winter, can you stop banging around back there for a second?"
"Why?"
Winter called back. In the moment of silence, Rogers could hear the wet gurgle from Nadine as she drew breath.
"Shit.
Get that door open fast. We need to get her to the med bay."
"What do you think I was doing?"
Rogers tried connecting to the ship over the link, something he should have done immediately. Would have if his head hadn't been soup. No response. The ship's wireless network was offline.
"You stay put," he said to Nadine. "I'm going to help Winter with the door. Then we'll come back for you."
Nadine nodded silently, and he gave her a reassuring smile before climbing over more debris to get to the door. When he arrived, Rogers saw that half of Winter's face was swollen, traces of blood dried on his skin.
"You look like crap."
"Try looking in the mirror,"
Winter said as he sliced through some wires.
"No power anywhere. Damn door is locked shut, and I'm not sure I can get it open."
"Nadine's hurt bad. I think we might be losing her. We need to get to the med bay."
Winter didn't stop working, but his eyebrows rose.
"Yes, repeating that really helps. Anything else you want to tell me that's going wrong right now?"
Rogers considered it. "We're in one of Jericho's deep valleys, close to the equator from what I could tell when we came in. I can't get any network signals, so unless a satellite passes overhead and we pick it up in time, we're stuck down here."
"Shut up, Rogers, before I punch you in the mouth."
Rogers kept going. "I've heard that a lot of smugglers operate out of these valleys. If they saw us come in..." Winter spun on him.
"I've moved on from wanting to punch you to wanting to cut you. Go sit with Nadine until I get this damn thing open, would you?"
Rogers raised his hands.
"I just wanted you to know what we're up against. Hurry up and open the damn door."
Rogers backed away so Winter wouldn't actually take a swing at him. It wouldn't be the first time Winter had hit Rogers just because he didn't like the message. Rogers returned to Nadine, whose eyes were closed tightly against the pane. He squatted and stroked her arm.
"We're opening the door now. We'll have you in the med bay before you know it."
"Status report,"
Nadine whispered. Rogers tried to find something to smile about. "We're damn well screwed" wasn't the answer she needed to hear.
"We're not dead yet. We have air."
"Is that good?" Nadine laughed and then winced. "The tracker. Kylie's tracker. Get it up and working. You have to get out of here and get to her, one way or another. Okay?"
Rogers shook his head. "Not okay. You don't tell me what to do. You do it yourself after we patch you up."
Nadine's eyes narrowed.
"Now isn't the time for pep talks."
"Now is the perfect time. You think I want to tell Kylie you died on my watch? Bullshit, Nadine. You hang in there, you ride the pain, and we fix you up. You come with us when we go to rescue Kylie from her crazy, tech-hating family."
"I don't think she'd want to see me right now anyway. You find her. You save her,"
Nadine said, her voice imploring. Rogers scowled.
"Why wouldn't she want to see you? Even if things were weird between you two, she'd always want to see you. She loves you, Nadine."
Nadine nodded with tears in her eyes.
"I know."
Her voice cracked when she said it.
Oh, by the stars.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?